Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael. I'm reading the San Angelo Standard Times. These articles are from the week of Sunday, September 26th. I'm narrating on Thursday, September 30th, and I'll begin with the most recent articles. COVID-19 update, a look at San Angelo coronavirus data for September 2021, published September 29th. Tom Green County, as of September 29th, City of San Angelo, 24,250 positive cases reported, 55 new positive tests, deaths 428, 279 from Tom Green County and 149 from other counties. 52 currently hospitalized, 833 active cases. Tom Green County COVID-19 Vaccine Tracker by Diane Panatello. Tom Green County has administered more than 102,248 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine as of September 28th, according to data from the Texas Department of State Health Services. That's up 3.44% from the previous week's tally of 98,851 COVID-19 doses administered. In Tom Green County, 41% of people living in Tom Green County are fully vaccinated as of September 28th. San Angelo man who ignored outcries of child sex abuse sentenced to parenting classes by Elena Edgen, published September 30th. After years of failing to act on a child's numerous outcries of sexual abuse and protect them, a San Angelo father will have to take court-ordered parenting classes. At 9:30 a.m. Thursday, September 30th, Jason Allen Murrell, 48, attended a plea hearing via Zoom in the 51st District Court. Murrell was charged in 2019 for ignoring a child's many outcries of sexual abuse for 3 years. His wife Marjorie was also charged and is awaiting trial. Jason Murrell pleaded guilty Thursday to abandoning a child with intent to return, which is a state jail felony, punishable by up to 2 years in jail. In exchange for his plea of guilt, state prosecutors recommended Murrell be sentenced to 2 years deferred adjudication, a type of probation that could help him avoid conviction if he followed the rules of probation. Murrell would also have to take parenting classes and pay a fine of $1,000. The child knows the recommendation and approves this offer, said Megan Wyatt, state prosecutor. The child, now an adult, informed the court they want no contact with Marjorie or Jason Murrell. Judge Carmen Dusek accepted and followed the state's recommendation. As part of the sentence, Murrell cannot drink alcohol or leave the country without permission, and he will have a curfew. Years of sexual abuse ignored. Man pleads guilty. Numerous sexual assaults occurred between August 2014 to August 2017 when the child was 12 to 15 years old. Despite many cries for help to family, the child was ignored. The child told an investigator the child started letting the assaults happen because they knew their assailant wouldn't stop. One relative told investigators they were threatened against reporting the assaults, records state. Marjorie and Jason Murrell were both arrested April 24, 2019, and released later that day on a $25,000 bond each. Both were indicted on suspicion of abandoned and endangered child in imminent danger of bodily injury on August 2, 2019. The man who sexually abused the child pleaded guilty to indecency with a child by contact and not guilty to continuous sexual abuse of a child younger than 14 in July 2021. In exchange for his guilty plea, he was sentenced to 8 years in jail and had to register as a sex offender. Note, the San Angelo Standard Times uses the singular they/them when reporting child-related crimes to further protect the child's identity. In this case, the Standard Times is withholding the name of the child's assailant to protect the child's identity. new art studio in San Angelo aims to create community through clay. By Colin Murphy, published September 29th. Members of the local community looking for a chance to get their hands dirty and end up with the original work of art when they're done have a new option at the San Angelo Museum of Fine Arts. They may also end up being part of a broader effort to revitalize the local art scene. In an effort to expand opportunities for continuing adult education in the Concho Valley and in partnership with Howard College, the new Concho Clay Studio, located at the museum, will soon offer classes in pottery and clay sculpture. Ariel Bowman, studio manager and renowned ceramics artist instructor, said the establishment of the clay studio is just one of the first steps toward resurrecting the local art scene in what has historically been a place where people made things by hand. The museum wanted to utilize this to create adult programming and art education, Bowman said. Right now, the museum has mostly youth classes. They want to bring back some of the hand skills that used to be taught commonly in this area. The goal of the adult education programming is to create a broader arts and crafts school that will offer classes in multiple mediums, and we're starting with ceramics. Bowman said the initiative, built around the clay studio, will include community outreach to nonprofits, schools, and other organizations to fully realize the potential of a revitalized art scene in San Angelo. "There's always a big community around clay," Bowman said. "It's a very community-oriented material because it's hard to do it on your own. You need to find a place with kilns that can fire your work. So a lot of people are looking for a studio like this where they can take regular classes. Not everyone can afford to start a little ceramic studio in their garage. So that's what we are hoping to offer, and what we're hoping to do with the studio is to fill a gap in adult education. We are here to create more community in San Angelo through clay." The brainchild of San Angelo Museum of Fine Arts CEO and President Howard Taylor, it is hoped the effort to establish a renewed interest in the arts, starting with the clay studio, will act as a spark, reigniting a larger movement toward economic and cultural rejuvenation through art. According to Taylor, the museum has some big plans in store for San Angelo. "This is tied to a really big vision," Taylor said. "The essence is that the museum is very deeply interested in the community, its traditions, and its future well-being as well. This town has been a place of manufacturing of goods and products. Like many places throughout the world, manufacturing here has changed or even departed in some cases. One of the things that we're very intrigued by is San Angelo has been a place of remarkable handmade goods and products that go back to our original heritage. So we are broadly looking at the idea of creating a maker environment, a place where we try to attract businesses that make things, particularly handmade goods and things that are traditional, like boot making and saddle making, and try to tie it into the regional crafts traditions. So the big picture is we are working on creating this district that has this focus on traditional making and encourage a high level of creativity with technology." Taylor said while there is much work left to be done to start the process, it begins with the clay studio. "As we look down the road, we have a much broader vision, and we'll be adding other kinds of programs," Taylor said. "We're hoping that we can engage a whole generation and generations to come in this kind of endeavor of homemade creativity. So it's a big vision, and we're going to go into it headlong with our ceramics program because it's part of the tradition of this community." More information about the opportunities at the San Angelo Concho Clay Studio can be found at www.samfa.org/concho-clay-studio or online at www.howardcollege.edu. San Angelo woman charged after debit cards used to open Cash App accounts. By Elena Edgen, published September 29th. A San Angelo woman has been indicted about 6 months after another woman received a text saying, "We got you," and noticed debit cards missing, according to court documents released Tuesday. On March 1st, 2021, a woman allowed another woman to stay at her San Angelo residence. The next morning, the resident noticed two debit cards, one of which was not activated, had gone missing from her purse, records state. The resident also received a text saying, "We got you too, LOL. How long did it take you to find the stuff? Always lock your door," according to the arrest affidavit. The cards were used to open two Cash App accounts, one in the resident's name with the former guest's information and another in the guest's name. The Cash App accounts were used for $203 between March 1st and 2nd without the resident's consent, records state. Jennifer Lynn Nesbitt, 36, was arrested August 17th on suspicion of debit card abuse and failure to control speed in vehicle. She was released later that day on a $10,000 bond, according to online jail documents. An indictment filed in September charged Nesbitt with debit card abuse, a state jail felony punishable by up to 2 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. A court date has been tentatively scheduled for November, according to online court records. San Antonio man charged in connection to San Angelo burglary, assault of woman, by Elena Edgen, published September 29th. A San Antonio man has been indicted after a woman said she was assaulted and threatened with a whiskey bottle, according to court documents released Tuesday. On May 6, 2021, a woman told police she had been assaulted in San Angelo. A man, who the woman knew, started calling her at 3 a.m., then arrived at her residence at 7:45 a.m., record state. The man started beating on the door and yelling for her to open the door, which she did. He forced the door open and the woman fell to the ground. She told police he then started to beat her about the head, according to court documents. He then took her to a bedroom, threw her on the bed, and threatened to hit her with a whiskey bottle, records state. The woman got away and called police, who noted the woman had a scratch on her arm. Stefaner Paul Frazier, 35, was arrested later that day on suspicion of burglary of a habitation. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $50,000 bond, according to court documents. The indictment, filed in September, charged with burglary of a habitation by entering a habitation without effective consent and assaulting the woman, record state. This has been enhanced to a first-degree felony, punishable by 5 to 99 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. The charge has been enhanced due to Frazier's prior conviction for assault family violence by choking or strangulation in Bexar County in 2017, according to the indictment. San Angelo woman arrested after alcohol-related crash leads to five child endangerment charges, by Elena Edgen, published September 29th. A San Angelo woman is facing multiple counts of child endangerment after an open bottle of tequila was found at the site of a crash, according to arrest affidavits released Wednesday. About 9:06 p.m. Friday, September 24th, a trooper with the Department of Public Safety arrived at a two-vehicle crash on U.S. Highway 87 near mile marker 474, record state. The driver of a 2017 Toyota SUV, which was carrying two child passengers younger than 8 years old, failed to yield at a stop sign. The Toyota crashed into a 2013 GMC SUV carrying five people, three of whom were children younger than 15 years old, according to the affidavits. The trooper noted an open bottle of tequila on the ground near the Toyota as its driver and passengers were taken to Shannon Medical Center. At the hospital, the trooper attempted to speak to the driver, record state. The driver smelled of alcohol, had red, bloodshot eyes, and slurred while speaking, which led the trooper to believe alcohol was involved in the crash, according to affidavits. Tiana Lee Hennings, also known as Thornton, was arrested on Friday on suspicion of two counts each of endangering a child with imminent bodily injury and driving while intoxicated with a child younger than 15 years old. She was released later that day on a $60,000 bond, according to online jail records. On Wednesday, Thornton was arrested on additional charges related to the crash. Further investigation revealed the three children passengers in the GMC also received injuries from the crash. Hennings was charged with three counts of endangering a child by criminal negligence. She remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $30,000 bond as of 8:45 a.m. Wednesday, according to online jail records. San Angelo registered child sex offender is facing life in prison after outcry of abuse. By Elena Edgen, published September 28th. A San Angelo man and registered sex offender is facing a possible life sentence in prison after being charged with child sexual abuse, according to court documents released Tuesday. An indictment issued in September charged David Gene Wright, 40, with continuous sexual abuse of a child younger than 14 years old and indecency with the child by sexual contact. The indicted charges are a first-degree felony, punishable by 5 to 99 years in jail, and a second-degree felony, punishable by up to 20 years. The indecency charge has been enhanced to a life sentence, according to the indictment. A court date has been tentatively set for Wright in October. He has remained in Tom Green County Detention Center since his arrest in lieu of a $500,000 bond, according to online records. Child reports Tarrant County registered sex offender assaulted them multiple times. On April 18, 2020, a child younger than 14 years old told investigators they had been at a San Angelo residence in their mother's room. A man came into the room and hugged and cuddled the child before unclothing them, records state. At one point, the man told the child to put a pillow over their face while sexually assaulting them. The child said this was not the first time the man touched them inappropriately, according to online court records. The indictment stated the abuse happened from June 1st, 2015 to April 18th, 2021, and included abuse in McCulloch County and Tom Green County. Wright has been a registered sex offender in Texas since he was sentenced to 9 years probation in 2006 for indecency with a six-year-old child in Tarrant County. The Texas Public Sex Offender Registry lists him as a low risk. Swainson's Hawks Can Be Seen on the Plains from Texas to Canada by Michael Price, Wild About Texas, published September 30th. As I have stated time and again, my passion for the outdoors began with an unbridled fascination with reptiles. Growing up as a budding naturalist, I was not the most avid bird watcher, but even at an early age, I would find myself somewhat enamored with the group of birds known as raptors. And one raptor species that I most assuredly witnessed as a youngster was a common summer resident, the Swainson's hawk. The Swainson's hawk is a large bird of prey that occurs throughout the plains of North America, from southern Canada southward to Texas. Throughout its North American range, it is a migratory species. This means that it resides in North America, including the western three-fourths of Texas, during the warmer summer months, and dwells in warmer areas during the winter. However, unlike some migratory birds that spend the winter months in central Mexico before returning north for the summer, this raptor species takes up winter residence in Argentina. This means that individual birds, depending on where it inhabits during the summer, may travel in excess of an astounding 15,000 miles annually. This particular species of hawk prefers to occupy open areas such as prairies, grasslands, plains, and rangelands. All of these areas are typically devoid of heavy tree cover, thus allowing the visually keen species to survey the area for its next potential meal. It is quick to utilize man-made objects, such as fence posts and utility poles, as perching areas, and I have witnessed multiple specimens in the Trans-Pecos exploiting sotols and agaves for the same purpose. Swainson's hawks come in three distinct color morphs, making identification a bit problematic at times. Some individuals are dark, while others are decorated with dark upper parts and slightly lighter underparts. Both of these morphs have a distinctive white throat that can be used as a way to distinguish it from other species. However, the most common color morph in Texas is a bit more colorful. As in the two darker morphs, the light morph has dark upper parts and a white throat, but the belly is typically a dingy white that is occasionally lightly spotted on the periphery. There is a distinguishing wide chestnut color band across the breast area. The tail feathers are colored similarly to the upper parts and oftentimes have faint, narrow gray bands. The head is primarily brown with light lines, and the thick, curved bill is black with a fleshy yellow area on the top of the upper bill known as the cirrus. The eyes are large and quite dark. The scaly, yellowish legs and feet are feathered almost all the way to the long, powerful talons. Swainson's hawks are large. In fact, they are the second largest of the eight species of the genus Buteo that occur in Texas, rivaled in size only by the slightly larger red-tailed hawk. An adult specimen can approach a body height of 23 inches with a wingspan of just under 5 feet. Large adults can weigh up to 2¾ pounds. Breeding takes place in late spring, and this species is monogamous for the season. The 2 to 4 greenish-white eggs are laid approximately a month later in a nest built by both parents that is made of sticks and twigs. These eggs are large, nearly 2 1/3 inches in length, and are usually adorned with light brown spots. The amount of time for incubation varies, but it generally takes about a month. The young stay in the nest for an additional month and are fed by both parents. This species of hawk is a feeding generalist, consuming large quantities of insects such as grasshoppers. It does not limit its prey to items to such small creatures, however, as it is also known to feed on mice, rats, rabbits, lizards, frogs, toads, and ground squirrels. I've watched many Swainson's hawks stalk prairie dogs at the entrance of their burrows. The hawk's keen eyesight from the large eyes is capable of seeing prey from several hundred feet above ground level. Studies of this large bird of prey suggest that populations are holding steady, at least while in North America. There is a bit of concern for this species where it utilizes its winter home due to the continued rampant use of pesticides. Michael Price is owner of Wild About Texas, an educational company that specializes in venomous animal safety training, environmental consultations, and ecotourism. Contact him at wildabouttexas@gmail.com. New details revealed in San Angelo Hotel shooting death of Winter's man. Two indicted. By Elena Edgen. Published September 28th. Court documents on a Lubbock teen charged in the San Angelo shooting death of a Winters man have revealed new details regarding marijuana, a wanted man, and events leading to the shooting. According to court reports released Tuesday, September 28th, two men have been indicted in connection to Daniel Chandler's death, Joshua Tyler Salazar, 19, and Cody Ray Salazar, 31. The indictments charged them with murder, a first-degree felony, punishable by 5 to 99 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. A court date has been tentatively set for Salazar in October, and no court dates have been scheduled for Garcia as of 12:15 p.m. Tuesday, according to online court records. What happened to Daniel Chandler? About 1:15 a.m., June 28th, police arrived to a shooting at Inn of the Conchos, 2021 North Bryant Boulevard. In one of the rooms, officers found Chandler lying on the floor with gunshot wounds to his chest and abdomen. His shirt was soaked in blood, and numerous used cartridge cases were on the floor, according to court documents. Police interviewed several witnesses, one of whom was a woman who rented the room for the night. She said she told Salazar she would be staying there, and he and Garcia came by. Another man and a woman also arrived at the room, records state. The women told officers Salazar told everyone to leave the room because he had some business to take care of. The other man said he had left the room to smoke before he heard muffled gunshots, according to the arrest affidavit. Investigators believe after the two women and the man left the room, Chandler, a woman who identified herself as his girlfriend to police, and another man entered the room. the woman told officers they had gone to the motel to purchase some marijuana, according to court documents. The man who entered the room with Chandler and the woman told officers the woman had contacted him asking to purchase an amount of narcotics. He used social media to contact another woman to arrange a transaction. When they entered the motel room, Garcia closed the door and pulled out a gun. He told them to give him all their money in bags, records state. Salazar also pulled out a gun, and Chandler attempted to draw a gun as well and was shot, according to the woman. Garcia then grabbed the woman's bags and the man's money and narcotics, then fled with Salazar. The woman tried to stop the bleeding, then ran to the office to call for emergency assistance, according to the affidavit. Additional interviews reveal teen wanted in Lubbock shooting at San Angelo residence. The woman who was contacted about arranging a deal told officers she drove Salazar to another woman's residence. The resident told officers Garcia, who was known as the Kid or Jay, had been living at her residence for 3 months, according to an arrest affidavit. At the residence, Salazar said he had to get some money from someone who owed him. He asked the resident if he could use her pickup, and she didn't want him to, so Garcia offered to drive the pickup, records state. The two left, and after the shooting, Garcia told the resident they had went to a motel room and someone died, according to court documents. At the time of the shooting, Garcia was wanted by Lubbock police. According to Lubbock court documents, on January 18, 2021, Lubbock police arrived to a vehicle burglary call, which became a chase on 45th Street. Garcia was a passenger in the vehicle and shot at pursuing officers. No officers were injured, but a patrol car was disabled. The vehicle with Garcia and an unknown driver was found abandoned on 36th Street, according to court documents. Men arrested in Ballinger, Lubbock in connection to homicide. On July 5, 2021, the San Angelo Police Department, Tom Green County Sheriff's Office, and Runnels County Sheriff's Office arrested Salazar, who they suspected in the shooting. They found him at the Shopping Basket, 610 Hutchins Avenue in Ballinger. Salazar was arrested on suspicion of murder, in addition to going off bond for credit or debit card abuse, possession of marijuana, and evading arrest detention. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a bond as of noon Tuesday, according to online jail records. In 2019, Salazar pleaded guilty to a hit-and-run crash in San Angelo, which left three passengers seriously injured. 391st District Court Judge Brad Goodwin sentenced him to 2 years in jail, according to online court records. On July 12, 2021, Garcia was charged on suspicion of murder after being arrested in Lubbock in connection to shooting at officers. San Angelo man arrested after drive-by shooting in College Hills. Police chase at apartment. By Elena Edgen. Published September 27th. A San Angelo man has been arrested after a police officer at a hospital heard gunshots in a nearby neighborhood, according to an arrest affidavit. On September 22nd, an officer at Shannon Medical Center South Campus, 3501 Knickerbocker Road, heard gunshots in the area. A third-party caller soon afterwards reported a drive-by shooting in the 2400 block of SMU Avenue, records state. During an interview, police learned the homeowner heard gunshots and went outside to investigate. He told officers a red passenger car was in front of his residence and he saw a person holding a gun, according to the affidavit. The homeowner went back into the home and heard several more gunshots. Officers noted a bullet hole in the front screen door and another in a front-facing bedroom window, which went through several interior walls, records state. The officer, who was at the hospital, saw a car matching the description and attempted to conduct a traffic stop. The car continued driving to an apartment complex on Knickerbocker Road, where two people fled the car, according to the affidavit. A second officer apprehended one person a short distance away from the vehicle, a man with a Glock 22 in his waistband. The video surveillance showed 30 minutes prior to the shooting, a relative of the homeowner allowed several people into the home, including the man with the gun, records state. Alfredo Nava Chavez, 18, was arrested September 22nd on suspicion of possession of marijuana, alcohol minor in possession, resisting arrest, search, or transport, evading arrest with prior conviction, unlawful carrying of a weapon, and deadly conduct discharge firearm. Chavez remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $46,442 bond as of noon Monday, according to online jail records. The arrest affidavit does not reveal the identities of anyone else in the vehicle. San Angelo man connected to deadly fight outside College Hills Bar faces enhanced charges. By Elena Edgen, published September 28th. A San Angelo man will face enhanced charges in the assault and death of Jason Garavay, 41, according to court documents released Tuesday. An indictment released Tuesday charged Jose Joe Angel Trevino Jr., 38, with murder and aggravated assault causing serious bodily injury. Both charges of first degree and second degree have been enhanced to habitual offender status. The enhancement comes from Trevino's prior convictions. In 2004, Trevino was convicted for assault family violence with one prior conviction. In 2014, he was convicted in Tom Green County for possession of methamphetamine with intent to deliver. Since Trevino's arrest on July 8th, he has remained in Tom Green County Detention Center. A court date has been tentatively scheduled for November, according to online court records. Bar videos show police moments leading to parking lot assault. On June 19, 2021, police arrived at Shannon Medical Center for a suspected stabbing victim. Officers noted Garavay had multiple injuries to his face and head, indicating an assault, not a stabbing, records state. Investigators learned the assault happened in the parking lot of a bar in the 2400 block of College Hills Boulevard. Witnesses and surveillance videos showed how the assault began and ended, according to the affidavit. Security video showed an escalating issue between Garavay and another man, which continued as they left the bar with others. Garavay was knocked to the ground, where Trevino stomped on his face multiple times, according to court documents. Witnesses told investigators Trevino left the area in a vehicle with another person. One of the involved individuals took Garavay to Shannon Medical Center, according to an affidavit. Garavay went into cardiac arrest and was without oxygenated blood to his brain for about 10 minutes as police investigated. Hospital staff resuscitated him, but he later died on June 28th. On July 2nd, police announced a search for Trevino, who they called an armed and dangerous suspect. Later that day, Trevino was arrested in Baytown, near Houston. Fiestas Patrias celebrated during Hispanic Heritage Month. By Colin Murphy, published September 25th. Events celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month continued on Saturday with the inaugural Family Fiestas Patrias Festival, hosted by the San Angelo Museum of Fine Arts and the Hispanic Heritage Culture Center. Heidi Brooks, chairman of the Family Fiestas Patrias event, said the festival was off to a good start after beginning on Friday. This is a collaboration between the San Angelo Museum of Fine Arts and the Hispanic Heritage Culture Center, Brooks said. We thought this would be a fun way to get people out, and we thought the collaboration between the museum and the Hispanic Heritage Culture Center was a great way to celebrate Fiestas Patrias. It is celebrated across the world, and this seemed like a good way to do it. It's great seeing the diversity of people out here having a good time. The Fiestas Patrias holidays in Mexico originated in the 19th century and encompassed several celebrations, including the commemoration of the Mexican Revolution, the birthday of Mexican President Benito Juarez, the labor union movement in Mexico, the Constitution of 1917, and Grito de Dolores. Grito de Dolores honors an event which occurred in Dolores, Mexico on September 16, 1810, when a Roman Catholic priest named Miguel Hidalgo y Costilla rang the bells at his church, providing a call to arms that is credited as the primary catalyst of the Mexican War of Independence. Rosa Rockin' the Ranch music event returns to San Angelo to benefit West Texas Boys Ranch. By John Tufts, published September 25th. A two-day concert event benefiting the West Texas Boys Ranch is coming back to San Angelo after the coronavirus put a pause on the music last year. Beginning Friday, October 1st, the House of Fifi Dubois, 123 South Chadbourne Street in downtown San Angelo, will play host to Rockin' the Ranch. Billed as a weekend of wonderful musical talent from all over Texas, the concert will feature musical performances from Midnight River Choir, The Whites of Texas, Carrie Houston, and others. In years past, Rockin' the Ranch has raised tens of thousands of dollars to help the efforts at the West Texas Boys Ranch, a nonprofit organization providing structure and shelter to boys ages 10 to 17 who are experiencing hardship. "We do this crazy musical celebration every year for the West Texas Boys Ranch," said Tony Hunter, who helps organize the event. "Last year, of course, we were shuttered, but we were still able to write them a check for almost $5,000. In 2019, before the pandemic, Hunter said the concert raised far more money, to the tune of $22,000. It's a feat she hopes will be surpassed in 2021, despite the recent surge in positive COVID cases. "I'll take anything, obviously, but we would love to beat the 2019 amount to make up for 2020, Hunter said, noting that precautions were in place to help limit the spread of the virus. "We'll keep the room pretty separated. We have tables spread 6 to 10 feet apart. There are 14-foot tall ceilings, so you're not jammed into a tight space," Hunter said. "We have large doors. We are hoping we can swing them wide open at the front of the venue." Hunter said many of the musical performances will be staggered throughout the day, and she encouraged concert goers to purchase a $20 wristband to see all the acts. "You can come and go," Hunter said. "With the $20 wristband, you can see the Friday and Saturday shows and get food from the Chuck Wagon snack bar. At the end of the day, it's all about how much money we can raise and donate to those boys," Hunter said. "It's an amazing local charity and a very, very good cause." For information online, visit Rockin' the Ranch on its official Facebook page, facebook.com/RockinTheRanchWTBR. Rockin' the Ranch concert schedule. The schedule of musical performances slated for the Rockin' the Ranch event is as follows. Friday, October 1st, 8 p.m., Get Western Show with Midnight River Choir. Saturday, October 2nd, 2 p.m., Noah Connor Smith, Noah Connor. 3 p.m., The Whites of Texas. 4 p.m., Carrie Houston, Carrie Houston St. Marie. 5 p.m., Tyler McCullum, Tyler Stephen McCullum and Stuart Mann, Statesboro Review. 7 p.m., Western Deluxe, Justin Marshall Alverson. 9 p.m., Midnight River Choir. A $20 donation provides an all-day wristband for access to all the performances and the Chuck Wagon snack bar. San Angelo ISD buys 40 COVID-killing machines for elementary and secondary campuses. By John Tufts, published September 25th. As the coronavirus in Tom Green County hovers around 50 or more cases per day, school board trustees with San Angelo ISD voted to purchase 40 air purification devices touted as COVID killers. For about an hour, Monday, September 20th, district officials listened to a presentation about integrated viral protection, IVP, units. The devices are FDA approved and eliminate the airborne transmission of SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19, according to the company. There were 52 children and 4 staff members at SAISD campuses who tested positive for COVID-19 from September 13th through the 17th, according to information posted on the district website. Jason Henry, director of purchasing, said Monday air purification devices were another method of reducing COVID-19 in the district, noting the IVP devices would require little effort or maintenance. These air purifiers operate with very little interaction from staff and operate 24 hours a day, Henry said, noting the venue model number V1 also eliminates anthrax, chickenpox, influenza, meningitis, streptococcus, measles, mumps, smallpox, and seasonal allergies. Each device uses a heated filter and a metal mesh foam to catch and kill viruses and pollutants, according to ivpair.com. On hand for the presentation was company CEO Dr. Garrett Peel, who told school board trustees air purification filters from IVP killed the COVID-19 virus in the first pass and were 99.9% effective. Peel listed several organizations that had already purchased IVP devices, which he said were recognized by the American Society of Mechanical Engineers and Engineering and awarded the Engineering News Record's 2020 Newsmaker of the Year. Representatives from the Texas Restaurant Association and the Texas Hospital Association have also endorsed the devices as a way to further combat the spread of COVID-19. Peel said more than 150 other Texas school campuses, medical facilities, and nursing homes have purchased units. Board trustees unanimously approved purchasing 40 IVP units that will be installed at all San Angelo SISD elementary, middle, and high school campuses. Glenn Middle School received an IVP device earlier this month. The device can be wheeled around to different common areas, such as cafeterias and gymnasiums. Company donates 7 devices after large purchase by SAISD. SAISD purchased 35 of the V1 units, measuring nearly 6 feet in height, as well as 5 shorter R1 units for smaller meeting areas, which stand slightly over 2 feet tall. San Angelo Middle and High School campuses will receive 4 of the larger-sized V1 units to cover more densely populated areas at school. Elementary campuses will receive 1 IVP V1 unit each for use in the cafeteria, a district spokesperson said. After purchasing the devices, officials said the company donated 7 more of the larger V1 units to the district. The district plans to begin installing the units in the next 2 to 3 weeks. SAISD is the first school district in West Texas to install the IVP units, according to an earlier news release. The devices were used at school district campuses in Slidell, about 90 miles southeast of Wichita Falls, during the 2020-21 academic year. School representatives at Slidell said they did not have to close their campus because of the COVID outbreak after installing the air purifiers. SAISD uses federal COVID-19 relief funds to pay for the devices. An SAISD spokesperson said the IVP V1 units were listed at $14,000. However, district representatives negotiated each V1 unit to below $10,000 and including a lifetime warranty per unit. On Monday, district officials said federal COVID-19 ESSER relief funds will be used to pay for all 40 of the IVP units. Several San Angelo residents who attended Monday's school board meeting spoke out during public comments in favor of wearing masks. They asked school board trustees to reconsider instituting a mask policy to further protect San Angelo children from catching COVID. Some San Angelo parents still hope district will institute mask rules. I strongly encourage you to implement some sort of mask rule, especially for children not old enough to be vaccinated, said Chelsea Hurd, the mother of an SAISD student. Absent a mask policy, Hurd said she was comforted by information presented about the air filtration devices. She nevertheless urged board trustees to consider instituting a mask rule in conjunction with the devices. Prior to Hurd's request, board president Max Parker made statements suggesting no mask enforcement policy was in SAISD's immediate future. Ken Paxton, the Texas Attorney General, has recently sued at least 15 school districts which have not been complying with the governor's order, Parker said. He's threatening to sue any other school district that does not follow the governor's order. Parker said he has been advised by the district's Austin-based law firm that attorney fees needed to fight Governor Abbott's office would need to come from local funds, and such cases faced a lengthy and uncertain future. District officials have likened the IVP units as one more tool in the toolkit to fight the coronavirus. The IVP unit is a proactive step and one more mitigation measure by the district to support the overall health and wellness of our students and the San Angelo community, said Whitney Wood, Director of Communication. We appreciate our students, staff, families, and community partnering to help curtail the spread of COVID-19, and SAISD will continue to work to do our part to benefit the children under our care, Wood said. Six local nonprofits receive more than $1 million from San Angelo Health Foundation, by John Tufts, published September 23rd. More than $1 million in funding will go to local nonprofit organizations to support STEM projects, pediatric programs, and building renovations, according to a Thursday news release from the San Angelo Health Foundation. On Thursday, September 23rd, Board Chair David Lupton announced the San Angelo Health Foundation had awarded $1,025,807 to six area nonprofits. Grants Chair Steve Cecil said the following grants encompass community impact, education, mental health, health care, and youth development. Girl Scouts of Central Texas. The Girl Scouts of Central Texas was awarded $40,000 to fund the Mobile STEM, Science, Technology, Engineering, Math, program. The mission of the Girl Scouts is to build girls of courage, confidence, and character who make the world a better place. They support a diverse membership and offer a variety of programs. They have a membership of 726 girls that are served in the Concho Valley. Donna Brosh, Community Recruitment Officer, said the organization is very thankful for the funding from the San Angelo Health Foundation. The Health Foundation was the first to support the Mobile STEM Experience Center from its beginning 3 years ago, Brosh said in a message to the Standard Times. Bringing STEM to the Girl Scout troops in San Angelo and the surrounding areas was a challenge before Mobile STEM began, she said. Now, not only do we take science, technology, engineering, and math to Girl Scouts, we are also able to collaborate with community organizations and other nonprofits that serve children in our community. To find out more, go to gsctx.org/mobile-stem. Howard College of San Angelo. Howard College of San Angelo was awarded $112,493 for a coordinator and expenses to continue nonprofit training. The objective of the nonprofit training is to provide affordable, quality training targeting the unique needs of nonprofit professionals. The training began in 2018, and attendance has exceeded original expectations. Howard College offers a wide assortment of associate degrees, training certifications, and continuing education classes. La Esperanza Clinic Incorporated. La Esperanza Clinic Incorporated was awarded $500,000 towards renovations of a new clinic building. La Esperanza Clinic was first established in 1994. They have grown to three locations and are a federally qualified community health center. Services offered include primary and dental care, prenatal, pediatrics, lab services, immunizations, school and employment physicals, women's health, nutritional education, mental health counseling, and telepsychiatry. Railway Museum of San Angelo. Railway Museum of San Angelo was awarded $73,314 for the purchase of a new HVAC system. The museum is located in the historic Orient Santa Fe Depot, situated in the San Angelo Cultural District. The museum gathers, preserves, and displays artifacts related to the history of the railroad. In addition, they provide living history tours led by period-costumed volunteer tour guides, model train exhibits, a static train display, and railroad artifacts. Tom Green County Library. Tom Green County Library was awarded $200,000 toward renovations to the North Branch Library. Their mission is to provide the tools and resources that will afford each resident of the county the opportunity to succeed in a quest for knowledge, information, and personal enrichment. The library can trace their roots to 1929 with a single location. Now they have three branches, which offer a multitude of services and programs for all ages. We are grateful that the foundation and its trustees recognized the importance of this project and graciously pledged their support, said Library Director Jill Donegan in a message to the Standard Times. Donegan said money from the grant will go toward expanding the North Branch Library, affording more space for computers, a multi-purpose meeting room, and upgraded amenities. Donations are still being sought to finish the project and can be made online through the San Angelo Area Foundation or at any library location. West Texas Rehabilitation Center. West Texas Rehabilitation Center was awarded $100,000 for improvements to the camp rehab property. Since 1978, this Plant a Tree program offered by City of San Angelo by Roger Havlak. Trees are such an asset, not only to our park systems, but to homes and commercial sites as well. It has been well documented that trees provide many attributes to communities, such as providing oxygen, shade for a cooling effect, a food source, wood for burning or construction, privacy barriers, and preventing soil erosion. You can also add the fact that areas with quality trees normally have higher property values. For these reasons, it is imperative that everyone appreciates the overall importance of trees for the city of San Angelo. To build upon and sustain our beautiful urban forest, the city provides a wonderful opportunity to the citizens called the Plant a Tree program. This program allows the applicants to select a preferred location and tree type from a predetermined list that the city of San Angelo will plant on the applicant's behalf. Examples of trees include bur oak, live oak, Texas pistache, Texas elm, bald cypress, and chinquin oak. Examples of locations for planting with this program include Kirby Park, Jaime Padron Memorial Park, Texas Bank Sports Complex, Concho River Parks, Brentwood Park, Sulphur Springs Park, and other sites that have been more recently constructed or renovated. Sites are limited to those having adequate irrigation, proper growing space, and existing or future maintenance considerations for the newly planted tree. The cost for a 30-gallon or 24-inch box tree, approximately 2.5 to 3.0-inch caliper, is $350. Another attribute to this program is having the opportunity to memorialize or recognize an individual or group. Applicants can request a dedication plaque, which will be placed on a concrete base or small boulder, if available, appropriate for the size of the plaque. Cost for the 4x6-inch plaque is $250 for aluminum and $300 for bronze. Cost for the 8x10-inch plaque is $350 for aluminum and $425 for bronze. If you would like to make a tax-deductible donation of a smaller amount without purchasing a tree or plaque, you are quite welcome. These collective and undesignated funds will go toward the purchase of inventory trees that will be maintained at our park's tree farm and planted in future years. Our tree planting season typically runs from October through February. Several park areas are still in need of new trees throughout San Angelo. All donations and participation with the Plant a Tree program are greatly appreciated. If you are interested in participating with this program, contact us at 325-657-4279. City staff has also posted a document that covers the Plant a Tree program. Visit cosatx.us/parks to find lists, descriptions, and maps of all the parks that you and your families can enjoy here in San Angelo. Roger Havlak is the Parks Senior Manager for the City of San Angelo. Contact him at 325 1-800-273-8563 or email roger.havlak, H-A-V-L-A-K, at COSATX.US. And now here's the column by Allison Watkins for this week. Here's how to manage leaves in your yard this fall. Published September 25th. Pecan leaves have really been falling early this year, mainly because of late summer heat stress, compounding freeze damage from the February storm, and high populations of aphids feeding on them. They usually don't drop so many leaves until later in the fall, but there is no major cause for concern for pecans or other landscape trees dropping leaves early. They will be dropping soon anyway and don't need any major intervention. Take advantage of the abundant organic matter that comes from deciduous trees and compost the leaves for improving soil later. Texas A&M recommends that we don't bag it, referring to fallen leaves and grass clippings. Soil needs organic matter for landscape plants, vegetables, herbs, etc. to grow well, so don't send off valuable plant matter into the landfill. One easy way to keep leaves in the yard is simply mow over them to shred and let them filter down into the soil of the lawn. This is very effective for pecan leaves, but live oak or other thick leaves should be raked up and utilized elsewhere. Spread them out into beds or in the vegetable garden as a mulch. Mulch benefits plants in many ways. It moderates soil temperature, conserves water, protects plants during freezing temperatures, and prevents weeds. A good depth for mulch is 3 to 4 inches. Another solution is to place the leaves in a compost bin or pile. Compost is extremely advantageous in the landscape or vegetable garden. Along with fallen leaves, other organic matter from the yard can be composted, as well as kitchen scraps, such as coffee grounds, vegetable peelings, and fruit scraps. Just avoid adding meat, dairy products, fat, grease, or noxious weeds to the compost. The fourth option is direct soil improvement, but this should only be done in areas that will fallow or bare for the winter season. Raw materials should not be incorporated directly into beds that will be planted right away. Otherwise, they can rob plants of nitrogen while they break down. But if leaves are worked into the garden soil in the fall, when spring planting time comes around, they will be broken down and decayed, providing good soil improvement. There are often questions about certain species that might not be good for mulch or compost in the yard or garden. And while some leaves break down faster than others, almost all types of leaves are a good addition. The main exception is black walnut, which produces an allopathic substance that inhibits growth of other plants. Don't use black walnut leaves as mulch or compost because it can reduce plant growth. Allison Watkins is the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County. Contact her at aewatkins@ag.tamu.edu.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.